Hello and welcome to another episode of The Muscle and the Hustle. It is, as Mickey wants a timestamp, where it is 9:15 on a Thursday, so this will run until 10 o'clock, Mickey, or so, just so you know.
It's 18:15 Sydney time.
Oh, there you go. Rub it in. Is it nice and sunny at the minute over there?
It was a nice day. It was about 25 degrees, yeah.
Nice. Very... Do you know what? The weather's been good home.
Is it?
Clear. Been warm, yeah. Yesterday I sat in the garden in a t-shirt, and it was sunny, and I sat and had a nice coffee, and it wasn't like fucking holy fuck, this is freezing. Like, you know, it's all right now because I'm not drinking warm coffee, I'm drinking cold coffee right now, and it's early morning. So
yeah, I seen you having the coffee there, and then I got mixed up in my time, and I was like, "Ooh, he's pushing the boat out at 6:15, drinking away iced Americano."
Anyway, yeah, people hate decaf. I fucking love it. It means that you can just keep drinking coffee and it doesn't fucking ruin you.
Yeah.
Yes, so look, this podcast is not going to be me and Mickey just talking shit about ourselves again. We got a good topic, and remember, please send in topics because we always find them very interesting because we're trying to help more. So the topic was on being more adventurous, like not just being in routine all the time. And I actually think that's a very good one. And
yeah.
One of the reasons why he said he thinks that we're both very adventurous, and this is something that I'm very cautious of, is I actually think that's because me and Mickey's routines are shaken up quite a lot. So what you notice is if I stay at home for a long time period, what I notice is days roll into weeks and weeks roll into months, and nothing really changes because you build habits and routines and behaviors just around what you're doing. Whereas, say for example, and not everyone can do this, but say for example, when Mickey's went to Sydney or I go to Dubai or something kicks up that completely changes my routine, you completely change whatever you're doing. You'll change the foods you're eating. You'll change the where you go for a coffee, what you're doing, what your goals are, because it resets you. So it's one of the things where, like, whenever I'm hopping about, it always means I can reset myself. So then it doesn't feel like you're changing something because it's going to change regardless, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, there's – and that I was struggled with in the past when my routine changed. Everything went to shit. Like, everything went to shit, be it training – be it diet, be it work ethic. When I used to be in that kind of mold of like a massively, like, would the word be like a stringent routine? So it's not military style, but very like, this is what I do at this time, this is what I do at that time. I found when that didn't happen, I was like, everything went to shit. Like from working, when busy, from DJing, diet went to shit, training went to shit, sleep pattern went to shit, work was just no good, but didn't do any work. But then I realized that was clearly, I was in a routine that didn't work for me to start off with, even before I became a lot more adventurous. And now, don't get me wrong, I've always went traveling, but, you know, I found now that I can pick up my routine in Ireland and move it to, say, Sydney here, or pick up my routine in my home in Bangor and move it to Oma when I'm spending a couple of days a week in Oma, instead of just going, well, I'm away for a few days, I'll just get back to that. So I've worked out a way that I can just, same as yourself, what Tony can do, you work out a way where you can bring it anywhere. And even though it slightly changes that, you know, your diet's probably not going to be the same because you're not going to get a chance to cook as much for yourself, but it's not going to be to the point where everything goes to absolute shit at all times. You know, a lot of time, you know, Tony can attest this, as long as you have good internet and somewhere safe and comfortable to sleep and live, we could probably keep our lives going as almost normal.
Yeah, like,
do you think that, like, you could probably travel to most countries in the world, and I would say you could run your business pretty flawlessly.
Just means you have to get up and fucking, you just have to get up at random times. Like, if I have a Zoom call, or like, for example, like, I call a buddy from the States at 2, he might only suit him and I have to do it at 3. But yeah, it's one of the things where that comes into play. I feel like the adventure thing too, like, obviously it's part and parcel of what we do, but I do feel like if you say you're at home, it's actually just putting in that little bit of effort. Like, really good example is like a you'll always go to the same, like my ones always go to the same sort of restaurant until it serves a bad meal and then change. Whereas yeah. I don't enjoy that. I enjoy constantly changing. So for example, like last year for my birthday, we went to the Sapori in Newry, which is a lovely little Italian restaurant, but my ones never go there. We haven't been. So I was like, right, let's just go there. Like, for example, they would never go to Dean's Meat Locker, and that's where I went after the event, after the show there. And then, like, it's almost just making sure you go somewhere else. Now, it doesn't mean it'll always go well, but it's, I think, see, whenever you make small yeah. changes like that, like, don't just pick up the same food every time you go shopping. You know, change up your dinners, change up, and then you start to change up where you go on holidays, what you were. It filters in everything, whereas once you fall into routines and habits and behaviors, very hard to shake. It's very hard to shake up unless you actually reflect and you go, how am I going to do that?
Yeah, well, it's the horrible part is too, that was what I was like. And then if something, a third party or whatever, or something out of your hand shakes up for you, that's when it becomes so tough. Like, yeah, let's say, like, I have a serious collection of trainers. Anybody knows me knows I have a serious collection of trainers. I wear four different pairs of trainers all week.
And I think that's
no joke.
Do you ever pack, like I pack like 20 kilos for the bag whenever I go, because you get it right, maybe 30 because you get 30 kilos.
Yeah.
And I will rotate the same, like I'll bring jeans, I'll bring three pairs of shoes, I'll bring my clothes, right? And I'll rotate between the same four tops.
And I'm different with t-shirts, jeans, and trainers. I have to really remind myself, like really, like I would say, no joke, I've a good 20 to 25 pairs of trainers that would be everyday trainers, and I still wear the same three pairs, four pairs, maximum. Jeans wise, I have four pairs of jeans in rotation. And I have another probably two, three, or four that are, you know what, they're just the same jeans, but a different color. They're all the same jeans. So I have every pair of jeans in Zara, different colors. And then I have the same jeans in Crop, different colors. And then I have four pairs of jeans from Legend London in different colors. And then that's it. And I always just wear, during the day, I wear the normal blue. DJ, and I wear the black. Sometimes I wear the black while ripping it when I'm DJing. And see, to be honest, I have to actually physically go, no, change them jeans. Because I slip into that. I don't know if it's just a comfort thing, but I just slip into it all the time. But when it comes to the adventure part, I actually had to force myself to become more adventurous. I never had a problem with traveling. That was the weird thing. Just see, when I got back into the mode of being at home, I would do what Tony was saying. Like, I would fall into a routine where, like, well, that's where I like to go for dinner, so that's where I'll go for dinner. Or that's where I like coffee, I'll go there for coffee, or this is what I'll do. And I did notice myself during lockdown, actually. I just tweaked my head there. I got very, well, I think that everybody did during lockdown. They got very routine-y again. Because yeah, you felt like you were in a jail. Like, you felt like you were kind of in a jail, where you were like, okay, I'll go from a 10 a.m. walk now. And then I'll go home and I'll do this and do that. And then I'll go for my 2 or 3 o'clock walk. And then I'll go home and do this. And if, because all you had to really look forward to was your wee walk. Remember them days?
I think you fall into routine with like anything. That's why you pick up bad habits. If you don't focus on making your routine, your habits, your behaviors good, you'll just pick up bad ones. It's a really good example of this is, whenever my ones quit smoking.
Yeah.
They didn't pick what habit they were going to take. So they took up eating. So then they got fat. Versus you'll see a lot of people and they'll take up cycling or they'll take up this. Now, they probably don't do it on purpose. But if you're you can't just drop a habit. You always have to replace it. It's why you'll notice people that stop eating then start vaping or something like that. There, it's to keep, like, one thing you'll notice is like whenever I stopped eating as much, I still have to keep my hands and my mouth busy. So I'll be drinking constantly or doing something or working. But it's one of the things where just consciously actually put in an effort. Like, I think it's all down to reflection. See the way the adventure thing.
Yeah, I think
it's not the fact you're a born individual. It's the fact that you aren't reflecting on it and then implement. It's like when people go, oh, my relationship needs it, like it's just dull. You haven't actually thought about it, then implemented a plan to spice up your sex life or go out for dinner or get a date night, it's just like, oh, well, this is just routine. And that's why things fall apart, because people don't actually reflect. And that's why I always say I love New Year's and I love that time period, because every Sunday I sit down and I reflect and I go, what went well for the week? What went shit? And what do I want to improve? And see, a lot of the time, then it sort of guides me forward from there. And then whereas if you don't do that all the time, you end up just falling in that shite routine and it melts you a little bit, to be honest.
Well, Sean Casey, actually, I was listening to his podcast, went on out for a walk the other night around the harbour, and Sean talked about, he'd done a podcast about, you know, Australia and his time in Australia and stuff, and he talked about in his sobriety and going off drink for the year, and he did say that a lot of people, when they go off, like, alcohol or something, they don't start doing stuff, like, they don't, like, fill that void of anything, and then they feel like they're really bored, and then they end up just going back on the drink.
Exactly.
And I just thought that was, like, that was something that, like, I was like, oh, that there makes a lot of sense. And then the other thing he talked about was, and this goes into kind of his sense of adventure, he talked about when he was in Melbourne, that he was like, he was on his own in the apartment, and he was like, he felt a wee bit shitty, a wee bit of homesickness, but he was like, it's not going to solve anything if I just sit here. You know, I have to get out and be adventurous. And like as he said, you know, the CrossFit gym and different things and meet people and whatever. But that's the kind of, that would be, I think it's a massive thing where
that be is adventurous. That's a really good example.
Yeah, it's a really good podcast, actually. It's his very last podcast. Really good. You know, Sean's a bit like us. He just fucking talks. Like, he just talks and talks. And I, like, that's a very good podcast. It's really, especially someone who's thinking of moving away, or even the whoever wrote that question about the adventurous thing. Like that's a big thing for Sean, because Sean's a young guy living at home and just decided, fuck it, going to Australia. And you should listen to the podcast. I'll not spoil what he got up to, but yeah, like the first thing, like, there is a certain type of bravery to be adventurous as well. And I think, and another word that was, it's when I was thinking about that question today, I was out seeing friends, like outside of Sydney, I went to their music studio and stuff. There's a thing, and I think that's a real weird one. I think Tony, like this, it's a curiosity. There's a curiosity in kind of going, you know, what else is there out there, you know? Oh, is there more? Like, everybody loves, like, everybody loves what they have, but, you know, how do you know there's not more if you don't be a wee bit curious and look for things? And that's where I get my sense of adventure. I'm always curious of knowing, you know, like meeting new people, and what do you do, and, you know, what are you into, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think the touching on the point about, like, where that leans into us, like, if you don't replace a bad habit with a good habit, so, like, for example, I really like that point, drawing back to see that, like, if you don't replace alcohol with something else. So, like, I remember whenever I stopped drinking, I started going for, like, sea dips on a Sunday morning, or lunch on a Sunday morning with my ones, or with one of the boys. It almost hits Saturday night and you're like, oh, I'm really glad I'm not going out, because I'm really looking forward to tomorrow because I'm doing this. And then you wake up, you're fresh, you've got a good routine, you're out walking, you're feeling good. And it almost creates that, like, positive feedback loop, whereas on a Saturday night, if you're just scrolling through Instagram and then you're sleeping in a Sunday and you've not utilized your days, whereas if you swap going out in the drink for going out for a nice meal with a family, or going to different restaurants, or going to away for the weekends, then you start to build up, like, what you've replaced it with. As I said there, people don't replace these negative habits, or something wrong with drinking, or what they're doing with other things. And that's why they end up going, oh, there's nothing to do, or I'm bored. But if you actually plan it out, there's a lot you can do, and a lot you can actually word it. Like, it's so, so simple. Like, if you spend call £100, say you spend £100, 150 quid a night out, and you go out four times a month, 600-700 quid easy. Like, you go away once a month, you know, look forward to that, build the routine, and then simple things, or spend your money on other things. It's not about always saving, but I think it's just a good thought process of the adventure side. I think it's definitely one of these things where people, I don't know if I believe in, like, teetotal, like, you shouldn't, like, it's up to you if you want to have it. Like, I don't believe there's anything wrong with a couple of drinks here and there. Yeah. It's completely down to what balance you want in your life. Sometimes people struggle with the balance, so removing it for a long time period then allows you to bring it back in or see how it feels. Yeah, and you're chugging it up.
But that's the thing, and Sean spoke about his, I'm not speaking out of turn here, says when Sean went on the beer, he felt like shit for 4 or 5 days. So clearly, oh,
loose,
Sean,
loose as fuck. I've been with him on the drink. So
Sean, really, I met Sean once in the drink down the bottom of the Holy Lands once many years ago. But he says that, like, work wise, it just didn't appeal to him. You know, and you know what? See, when you realize that something doesn't agree with you, even if it's something like milk. I'm not like gluten or lactose or whatever intolerant. Gluten messes about my stomach a wee bit. Milk messes about my stomach a wee bit, not to the point of going, oh, that's making me sick. So I just cut it out as much as I can. But see, when you realize that stuff doesn't agree with you, like, everybody knows something that doesn't agree with their stomach. So you cut it out as much as you can. It doesn't mean you'll never take it, right? A lot of people don't realize that alcohol and drugs or whatever may have a negative effect. That negative effect might be you go out on a Saturday night, you get absolutely blinded, right? Have the best night of your life, class. I'm all about it. Fuck them. When I finished here in 45 minutes, I'm going up to PJ O'Brien's and I will be wrote off tonight. Meeting friends from back home, meeting a singer from back home who is set up for gigs. But I know I'll be fine tomorrow. And it never the knock-on effect. When it starts to have a knock-on effect, that's when you kind of have to go, right, either I cut this shit back or I cut this shit out a lot. Like, there's certain people, like, everybody knows one go, oh, I can't drink vodka, it blows ahead of me. Everybody's got that one, like.
Oh, fact. And the thing is, it's never that. It's the fact that you're just not controlling your...
And you're just drinking too much.
But yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, whiskey turns me into a dick. No, you just drank too much, mate. It's not whiskey. Like,
oh, you're just a dick with drinking yourself. Like, everybody knows that person that goes, ah, I can't drink spirits. It sends me wild and I do crazy things. No, the wildness is in you. It's just the spirits get you there a wee bit quicker. That's all it is. But, like, I don't know how we got on this topic, but
side of that, like, a really good example is, like, you just need to ask yourself whenever it comes to stuff like this, does this complement my life or complicate it? Like, does it add or does it take away? And then you get it very, very clearly, very, very easily. You know exactly what's going on. Do you know what I mean?
It goes to your circles.
Yeah, like, is it adding or is it taking away? And if you're like, well, Joe, I'm drinking too much, and then you can't get it under control, then just remove it. Versus what happens is a lot of people don't ask themselves, like, is this complimenting or complicating my life? And for a lot of people, it's definitely not adding, it's taken away. And it's one of them things where can I make a compliment? Like, I feel like a drink complements my life very well. I went out to Dean's and I had just a glass of wine. I'm like, that's fine. And if I go out for another meal, I go for one or two cocktails, or on a Saturday, you know, I'll have a couple of drinks if I'm out with people, or I might not. Like, I could go out in the night out and not have anything. It's being in control and going, right, well, this complements my life because it lets me loosen up, it lets me relax. But if you're drinking, you're binging, you're getting a nightmare and it's fucking with you, or even anything like that, like anything you're doing, if you're too hardcore into fitness and it's not complementing your life and you're stressed, and then you need to actually go, right, well, what do I need to do to make this add to my life rather than take away? Because a lot of people just don't have that under control at all.
That's mad what you just said there, because when I was listening to the podcast, I was actually walking up through Chinatown at the time. I vividly remember, as soon as you said that, I was just thinking about people that go too headstrong into the gym, and then they go that headstrong that they forget to have a life. I can't eat out, I can't do anything, things have to be weighed, you're freaking out about MyFitnessPal, you're freaking out about, like, having a beer, you're freaking out about, like, having a dinner that's not, you know, weighed to the specifics that you need. Like, I'm not even talking about people that's competing, is a different story. I'm talking about just the average gym goer who, you know, like, you just can't do anything because you're that petrified, and it's starting to, like, take over your life, that you're, you know, you're slimming down, and you've got a bad relationship with life and food. It's not just a bad relationship with food, it becomes a bad relationship with life. That's the same thing as having a bad relationship with alcohol. You know, once 100%. Something starts taking over your life, and it means you can't do stuff you really want to do. Like I remember, like, years ago going away on holidays once, and I was coming back almost depressed because I ate bad most of the holiday. And I had to kind of go to myself, what the fuck are you at? Like, you know, you worked hard to get down and wait, and now you're feeling like shite going back. But you know you're going to get back into routine, but you're like, oh, why did I do it to myself? You just went and had holidays, and you went on to holiday mode. Like, I've had Like, I've went to the gym a few times. I've went
to a lot of people struggle with that. Like, a lot of people struggle.
Like, I kind of, because I trained hard coming out to Australia, I've done, and we're treating this as a couple of deload weeks, and I've been at the gym. But here, I've been at in coffee shops every morning, having my poached egg sourdough, having different things, having fucking too many avocados, and not so much beer. Had a big three or four days in a row, and then none for the last 3 or 4 days. But I've no regrets, because I set out, this is what this was. And when I get back home in Ireland, I know what my plan is and what I'm going to do. And that's just how it is. But the old me would have been fucking, I remember like sitting on the edge of a bed in Ibiza, emailing the guy, and like going back and forth with the guy from LDN Muscle. Because I had him on his email, and I was like, here, send me the new updated copy, I'm going to get stuck into it, and thinking to myself, fucking, like, I kind of wouldn't need to leave Ibiza a day early, because I need to get stuck into this gym program. And now I'm going to look back on it, I'm like, fuck, I had such a bad relationship with life back then, that I had to almost train too hard, starve myself to go on holidays. Halfway through a holiday, or three quarters way through a holiday, guilt started hitting in. And then I was almost wishing away my holiday so I could get back into the gym to fucking drill myself into the ground again, not really starve myself, but not far from it, put more pressure on myself just to look forward to another holiday to do the same thing again, 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 again.
You're fucking nuts. And I think that's a really good point. Like, it's one thing that I've been reviewing now over the last, like, week after show. I'm like, realistically, now, is this complement my life, or is it complicating it? What am I getting out of it? And you have to ask yourself, like, what are you actually getting?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying you have to fucking go thing, but like, for example, I done Pure Elite there, and then I'm supposed to have Miami Pro now next Sunday and WFF 2 weeks after that. And I'm actually just turning around and going, is this now complement my life? Whereas I actually found the journey getting the stage great, found the first one. Whereas now I'm like, is this going to add to my life, or is this going to take away now? And it's getting to the stage now where I'm like, this is actually taken away. And that's sometimes when you have to go, right, well, why am I doing it like this? What can I do instead? Is it the right move for me? Whereas a lot of people just don't weigh that up. And it makes a massive difference whenever you do weigh it up, because you weigh it up and you go, do you know what? This isn't the right move anymore. Then you start changing things and your life becomes immediately better. Whereas you can put a lot of pressure, like, a lot of people put a lot of pressure on themselves, very, very, like, so intense for no reason. Like, it doesn't, to as you said, they're like, the stress about the eating and all, like that is so unhealthy that people don't realize that. But I've been there, and I think you have, everyone has.
Oh, yeah.
It really makes a big, big difference to the individual if you just, people just don't think about that. And I think it makes such a difference whenever you get in your mindset that, like, right, do you know what? Does this give me something? Does this improve my life? Or is this actually fucking, like, is this actually not benefit me whatsoever? And for a lot of people, it doesn't. And I think people get wiped out by that and they think, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, it's one of them things where it does make such a big difference. And I think it is one of the things where, like, for me, like, you need to review that. You need to have a think about that. And it does make such a change.
You can review it all. Like, you can review it, like, almost yearly. Like, I know boys that play Gaelic, right, for their clubs, and they fucking hate it. Like, they hate it. And I'd be like, they literally count down to the season end so they can have their Sundays back.
Oh, fuck that. Like, see, for me,
and I mean, these boys are in the middle. They come up to their 30s. Like, they've hit their 30s. Like, and them boys for like 5-6 months a year. Six or seven months a year, because you train a bit. They haven't got their Sundays free. They got married at Christmas, because Christmas you can get married because you know there's going to be no games, right? They plan their summer holidays around when the club allows them to have their summer holidays. We would go out the odd night and go out during the off season. We'd go over to Liverpool games on Tuesday nights. And one of them turned around to me one time and goes, these are the days I love, when I can plan to do stuff in midweek nights in advance, when I know, you know, oh, the only person I have to worry about is the missus, and say to her, Tuesday at the end of November, we're heading over to Liverpool game. She's like, no bother. Instead of the manager going, right, lads, we're training Tuesdays and Fridays this week and Sundays. you can't go away in the missing the Sunday because training's 12 to half two, and then you're back and getting ready for work the next day. And you know, and Isaac, do you love it still? And he goes, I haven't loved it for 10 years. He goes, when I realised we were never going to win fuck all, and I was never going to play for Tyrone, he goes, what the fuck was it? You know, what was it doing? Like, he goes, it's been to be out with them lads and representing the town all, but he goes, you know, it's like, it's nothing. Like, he goes, it's nothing. Like, but it comes back full circle. It's just routine. That's what people, you know, people do. It's just a routine. Like, I've always said it. Like, DJing, like, people always say to me, like, even there, like, I'm over for this wedding, and one of my best friends got married, and they're big DJs, they're international DJs. And the wedding was full of international DJs, and we were all talking about, you know, the job, and there's a few people are coming up and saying, you know, these boys got it. You know, got it all good, like, being a DJ, whatever. And we were just like, it's fucking tough, like, it's a tough, cutthroat business. And it, like, I thought I was the only one that got it tight sometimes. Like, a lot of these guys are probably higher level than me, some of them about the same level as me. And one of them actually is in a new Netflix TV series. I'll give it a share on my Instagram. And he was like, I said, the minute I start hitting this job and start or hitting this life and it starts feeling like a job, I'm out the door, because it's too hard to do if you're not having fun. Like, it's not, like, it's people, like, it's not, like, it's class now, like, going on tour and standing in front of people and getting to show off and do your thing, but it's fucking tough. Like, it's tough, and it's tough that you have to turn down people all the time. It's tough your late nights, and, you know, your sleeping patterns off, and, you know, you're listening to articles half the time, and people are, you know, kind of using your brand and using your paying to make money off you, and they will only pay you a certain amount of money. No, you're not in control of that all the time. But, like, I've always said this, and I said it again at the weekend, the minute, and this kind of tails back to what we're saying, the minute it starts feeling like a job and I start going, you know, I don't like this anymore, I am 100% out the gap, because it's too hard of a life. It's too hard of a life not to have fun doing it.
Similar to the way that I feel about the shows now, like, see for me, I've been very much like, oh well, I'm lean enough, I'll just roll in the next show. But see, right now, I think it would take away from my life rather than add to do more. So obviously, I'm going to give it a couple of days. But I'm like, Joe, like, you don't have to just keep doing the same thing because you've been doing it. It's like, and I know a lot of GA heads will be listening to this, and there is a bigger goal. Don't get me wrong. Win the championship is massive. Winning a bodybuilding show is massive. And you're not going to always enjoy the process of that. You're going to enjoy the process, but there is going to be sacrifice in any endeavor to get there.
Yeah.
But there's a balance between how long you sacrifice for and the trade-off of what you're actually getting. So it's one of these things where, like, you have to weigh up, is that right for you? And then you have to take the decision on that, because a lot of people are delaying their gratification or their enjoyment or their downtime down the line. Like, if you're playing GAA from 18 to 35 seniors and you give up all your summers and you never win a championship, like, that is a hard pill to fucking swallow whenever you look back at it, because you gave up all that time for what you got.
Yeah.
And it's even at that, if you do win a championship, does that really give you what you like, all them memories, all them moments? And see, for me right now with the bodybuilding, I wanted to do a hard prep, I want to diet, I want to get lean, I want to go leaner than the photo shoot. I've got a photo shoot lined up, and for me the last 2 to 3 weeks it's been complicating my life, causing issues, not enjoying it, not enjoying my training, not enjoying my days, because I'm so food focused. And I'm like, yes, the goal of getting this, but I'm like, if I go to Miami Pro and I win a pro card, what has that added to my life? And I've gave up 2 weeks or three more weeks of my life for that. And I'm like, that's where you have to go, is it worth it? And then you have to make that personal decision. But there's nothing wrong with either, but it's one of the things where that's the same for, like, if you're doing the same thing repeatedly and you're wondering, right, well, why am I not doing as good, or what could I be doing? And it's actually a very interesting dilemma, because I do feel like a lot of people will feel guilty for that, or will feel like they just have to do it, whereas you don't have to do anything. I remember playing senior football and they were talking about drink bans, and this is during a stage where I was just starting fucking going to uni and all, and I was like, fuck this, like, I'm no way giving up my summers when I'm 20 for this. Now the thing is, I respect anybody that does, that is nothing wrong with it. Like, I respect it, but as long as you're aware of it and you're like, right, this is my trade-off and this is what I'm getting from it, But that's where you need to enjoy the process, whether you're getting the result you want or not. And I feel like a lot of people end up just in the motions and doing repeating, whereas it just doesn't make sense a lot of the time for a lot of people.
Strangely now, they don't do drink bans in the GA. They will tell you when you're allowed to have a pint, you're on the ban from day dot. So the way it works now is, from my understanding from my friends, you're expected not to drink alcohol, not to go out, really. They don't even want you staying. No, you're allowed out, but it's not that enjoy. It's not that looked upon about you being out late. But they'll tell you from time to time, okay, lads, you can head out tonight and have a beer. Which is, you know, the GA, it's a high-performance sports night. It might be amateur. There's fuck all amateur about it. They're full. Like, I know some of the Kilcoo boys. I know a lot of Loma boys. I know a lot of Throne boys. It is a full-time. It's a second job. And really and truthfully, on like the effort the Conor Mader and them boys put in day in, day out, and then doing masters, doing doctorates, doing whatever, is a full-time job. And, you know, they are as high-level elite athletes as the people that are glorified on TV. But that's a different story. But it's like everything else. There's, you know, we tie it back to our adventures and what makes us adventurous. I think what makes us adventurous, and me and Tony, is we're brave enough to make decisions. And like, as Tony says, like, Tony went from the firefighting to the coaching when there was, you know, the coaching thing wasn't a massive industry. Like, online coaching definitely wasn't. The fitness industry was huge. I went from being a pretty, like, I was a very good chef. Like, I was a very good chef, and I had job opportunities all over the world, pretty much weekly, if I wanted them. But you know, I wanted to be a DJ. That was always my dream from day dot. But when I was young, my mum begged me to have a fallback, and cooking was my fallback. And just so happened that I got pretty good at that. Actually, the place I'm going to tonight in Sydney was a place I used to be second chef in, weirdly. But yeah, I think the bravery is a big thing to take that initial step. I don't know what this guy's plans are, but, you know, I would always just say, if you're sitting at home now, or you're finishing your, you know, people are sitting their exams in uni at the minute, and they're like thinking what next, they're thinking of applying for jobs, and there's that wee inkling that maybe they need an adventure, I will tell you now, see if you've got that inkling, that wee feel, wee butterfly in your tummy, when you see other people having that adventure, take it now, like, go when you can. You know, maybe you have to save for 6 months, maybe you have to save for a year. Do it now, because that will not go away. It might be foggy for a while, but it'll always come back. Pick that box now. Get that box ticked now. Yeah. There's a travel bug, because like Irish life's great. No, it is great. The one thing I say about Irish life is, Tony's actually pretty good at this. I used to be really bad at this. We don't make use of our time, right? Like, I was at that wedding on Saturday in Sydney, and it was the most insane wedding I was ever at in my life. And I mean, it was fucking insane. And the party atmosphere, everything was insane. I was getting phone calls the next morning at 8:30. I woke up in a hotel. I didn't even know where the fucking hotel was. He come on for breakfast. But no, like, there was no hotel at the wedding. The wedding was in a private venue. Everybody was meeting up, all different parts of Sydney, for brunch and breakfast at like 9:30. I mean, like, if that was Ireland and we were all drinking the whole day at a wedding, like, nobody's getting up at 9:00 in the morning to go for breakfast. Everybody kind of was like, right. But this was just the Australian thing to do. And everybody was like, yeah, we're going to Coogee. We're all in Bondi. We're out in the eastern suburbs. We're going into a city, where are you at? Because everybody kind of knew I was half on my own. Like, now I had friends at the wedding, but I wasn't surrounded by people I knew. But everybody kind of introduced themselves to me and says, hey, do you need anything? Give me a shout. I had just random people that we'd, you know, changed numbers with, going, right, me and all of us are going this way, all of us are going that way. Make sure you're not eating on your own. And I thought, Jesus, like, in Ireland, you wouldn't get that as much. You know, many times we went to a wedding in Ireland, go, oh, there's, say your Dawes man from England. He's over for the wedding, just, and not a lot of people would say hello to him, but they wouldn't fucking, you know, make a big deal. Like, I was at that wedding on my own, and then two DJs from Adelaide came in. I knew them very well, but I knew the bridal party well. They're busy doing bridal party shit, or sorry, groomsmen and that shit. And I just thought to myself, they make so much use of life. Like, compared to, like, now you're very good at it. There is certain people there that's good at it. But there's a lot of people, like, we're very sofa-orientated. You know, we're very TV-orientated. We're very, like, we're not as adventurous as we probably should be, because, like, people look at us, like, at the minute, I'm in Sydney, Tony will be probably in Dubai within the next few weeks, then he'll be in different places, then he'll end up in Sydney probably towards the end of the year. There's so much things you can be adventurous at in your fucking doorstep.
Easy. Just go away for a weekend to go away, yeah. Or go away for a weekend to cook. Just get the train, get the bus, go to a restaurant you've never been to, go to a zipline adventure in Carlingford, which is 5 minutes down the road. Like, I used to tell people that. They're like, oh, and I'm like, you've never been, it's 5 minutes from your house. But
yeah,
people don't look for a joke. Adventure doesn't have to be mental. It can be
adventure could be anywhere. Like, it could be literally, adventure could be going for it to a bar for a pint on your own and speak to someone you do not know. If it's an old man, or if it's a random person, or it's a girl or a boy or anything, just go in somewhere on your own and force yourself to meet someone new. And I think that's an adventure. Now, you could meet a like-minded person. That's why a lot of people love CrossFit, because it forces you, because not a lot of things are paired up. And it forces you to meet someone and talk to them. And that's why CrossFit always got that old name of being like a cult. And it was, in a way. But it forced you to meet people and kind of like-minded people.
That's it, though. That's why it does well.
That's why it does well. Because, like, and Sean talked about in his thing, he hit the hard back to Sean, go listen to his class. Like, CrossFit is one of those things where if you're in a foreign country and you're into CrossFit, they're into CrossFit, they're like-minded, go to a CrossFit club and you'll meet. You can go to the gym and talk to people, but sometimes, like, me and Tony are probably guilty of this. Sometimes in the gym, you just need to get the work done. You don't want to be hassled. You have a minute between each exercise. You're not, no, you don't need big conversations. CrossFit's a wee bit different. Afterwards, everybody's always, they finish at the same time. You talk. But there's the sense of adventure. I think everybody's got a sense of adventure. They just need to find it and hone it.
Reflect, and then realize you're stuck in routine. If you don't spend time actually reviewing it, you never do, and then it fucks you over. You know, it's that case of the weeks roll into months and months roll into years, and then you're like, I've been doing the same thing repeatedly. And there's nothing wrong with it. See if you really, really enjoy it. But most people don't love that. And I think that's where that comes into play.
And that can be the same as in relationships as well. You know, you have, like, we talk, it becomes a norm, and then you realize that the two of you don't even talk all that much anymore. You don't really get on. You might not even like each other that much, but it's routine and it's easy. And then people talk about, on the flip side of that, when you split up with someone you love, or someone you like, or someone you were going out with for a long time or married to, they start to feel lonely. But they're like, no, but we're split up for a reason. Loneliness isn't from missing them. The loneliness is from the time, the void that they're leaving. That for, say, the last 10 years, every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, you've watched fucking, I don't know what's on, 8 o'clock, Coronation Street. Whatever. No, you did something every day. So then you're going,
watching Coronation Street in a relationship. There's
Coronation Street, or, you know, but like it or not, when you leave a relationship, there's a gap. And sometimes you think you're missing that person, but really you're not. Really, you're just kind of bored because that person has left this gap. You might have split up for the right reasons. That doesn't mean that you're not going to miss someone, because they filled a part of your life that now you have to fill. That's why the best thing to do, if like a friend or someone splits up with someone, try not to leave them on their own too much at the start, because that is the hardest point. The hardest part is, and I know this fucking from my own, from myself, from Manny's time, it's filling that initial gap that you realize that, oh shit, we always did this. Like, I'm lucky because, well, not so lucky, but like, I've never been in a relationship with someone that's had me every Saturday night. But I know a lot of people that are in relationships and they're always with their girlfriend on a Saturday night or their boyfriend on a Saturday night. And then when it comes when they're not there, they either they call it, well, they always go all rebound hard or whatever. But they go to the they go on the drink, they go on the beer, they go out clubbing because they need to fill that gap on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
But it's that's once again, that's because the Saturday night's a routine. And once you realize that though it's a routine you had and the routine slightly changed, now you know you don't know what to do and you think, fuck, I miss this person, but really you probably do, you know, you probably do miss them slightly, but if you split up for the right reason, you miss the time that was spent and now you've got that void. I don't know what tangent I went on there, but
No. It makes sense. It's just, I do get that. It's getting stuck in the routine. I know exactly where you're coming from. Don't you worry, Mickey. That was still well worth the value. We're coming up to the 45 anyway, and I'm fucking busting for a piss.
We are.
I think the whole idea of it is realistically, just have a look at your routine. Have a look at your day-to-day and go, is this complementing my life? Is it complicating it? Is it enough for what I want? Because if you don't stop and reflect every once in a while, you will turn around and go, fuck, my 20s just, like, your 20s do go so fast, your 30s go so fast.
Yeah.
It all goes. So it's one of them things where noting that and going, right, well, what do I want to do here? That is going to be probably one of the main keys for you. Otherwise, you're going to feel like, oh, fuck, I've missed the boat here. And that's where your life will flash before your eyes. Like, it really, really fucking will. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, do you know what I mean?
Or is your... is your routine holding you back from being adventurous? If that's what you want, if you have a feeling your life is boring or some way unfulfilled, maybe it's how you've set up your life. And I'm not talking about like drastic changes, I'm talking about like simplistic changes. Is your routine, if you change your routine slightly, even like as Tony said, or Caroline even said something, the difference it made, and maybe it was you. The difference it made in your life, like getting up an hour earlier.
Oh, it's me, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, fucking mental. And I've been getting up in Sydney at 6 a.m. Right? And now, come 6 p.m., I'm absolutely busted. Like. But I can get in so much more in the day. And get, you know, I still have to do a bit of work when I'm out here. So I'll wrap out a few emails, get stuff done, and then I get on to work. So I'm going to try to keep this up as much as I can when I come back home. But I can't do it the nights I'm DJing to like 2 and 3, but I'll try to do it as much as possible. So that's where I'm going to change up my routine so I can fit more stuff in, i.e. social stuff. So I can get all my work out of the way, all my crappy stuff out of the way, and then social.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're 45 done, guys. So please keep rating and reviewing and keep trying to get us back into the charts. We were in the charts again this week, which is a good sign. It's a very good sign. And yeah, now when we get back, I get back home, we'll probably try to do another one in person soon. And then we'll get a big update from Tones, see what Tony's at.
We'll see how things go.
I like our train by Tony, Beanie. Hey?
That is, these will be live by the time. Should be live by the time the podcast goes. So I think we're launching tomorrow or Monday.
Very good. It's class stuff.
Thank you very much. All profits are going to the Nuri Hospice. So I think it's like whatever price it is, there's like £5 from most items apart from like the beanie. Like the beanie's like £12. I think £3 of it, like it costs whatever to ship it and all. But
yeah,
I think like £3 from like the beanies and the socks go to the hospice, and a £5 from everything else you buy. So it's one of the things where I was like, do I put it on? Because like, for example, like you have to obviously have that in built into the price. So I tried to inflate the price a little bit, but like the jacket's £40. So it could have been 35, but then there's no profit for anybody. Whereas I was like, I'll stick the money on for the hospice. T-shirts are 25, £5 goes to the hospice. Socks are £6, beanies 12, but half the money practically goes to the hospice for them. So
yeah,
if you ordered like £100 worth, you know, you're getting your clothing, it's pretty fucking fresh, to be honest. It's good fit.
It is. I've seen the jacket in person, and it is as top quality as you can get. It's like, yeah, It'll be better quality than Regatta. Put Regatta in. Regatta's a damn good brand.
Yeah, it's fucking quality.
It's quality stuff, Luke.
But I appreciate anyone who does. But for me, it's one of the things where, yes, look, I get marketing out of it, obviously, but it's fresh gear and it's donating. It's a way I can help the hospice because they're great. It's a great charity. And if I raise £100 or £1,000 or £5,000, every penny, everything yeah. matters. And the hospice logo is on it, so it raises awareness for everything. Like on the back of the beanie, there's the hospice logo, which is fresh too. Or you can wear the beanie with the hospice logo in the front and then ignore mine.
Oh, that's a class logo. How is that?
The hospice logo is actually very nice because it's a cross and it's got like a sweep underneath. It looks like a cross in a boat. So it's actually quite fresh. Like we see whenever I put it on. Obviously, people can't hear this. But that actually...
It looks like you're like a fucking like a drill rapper, like a UK rapper.
Yeah, it does. It looks... and then the hospice logo and all's on the back. But look here, that's Will. Class, don't advertise anymore. Like, share, review. But give us topics. We want topics. Topics.
We'll see you again next time, guys.
Have a good one.